And now let's rejoin Tamihere Talks with your host, John Tamihere.
Kia ora tātou, hoki mai, kia koutou, kei te kōrero kōrero wa Tamihere. We're lucky enough to be joined this evening by Atawhai Tibble. He's the director, Te Ao Māori Census 2023 at Stats New Zealand. I don't know whether that's a great handle to have given the way the census is going, but anyway, the bros from Ngāti Porou, Te Whānau, Apunui, Tūwharitoa, Whanganui, and Raukawa, Ki Te Tonga. And Tibble Whānau is probably the most fertile and productive family in Ngāti Porou at the moment, given the way they throw kids out. So I just wanted to welcome you into the program, Atawhai. Kia ora.
Kia ora, John, and kia ora whānau, tēnā koutou katoa.
So, Atawhai, you've been in and around the public service for some years. This is a very difficult job you've taken on. 2018 saw one of the worst census outcomes on a whole range of levels that we've ever seen. And it seems to me that 2013 was probably, which is a long time ago, which was one of our better census results. What happened in 2018, and what do you think is happening in 2023?
My personal view is that I think we've always missed Māori from the census. This just makes sense. We've got a younger population. We're way more mobile. I think our home ownership's decreased over time quite rapidly, I think, in the last 10 years. From what I see in terms of the numbers, we've always been kind of a challenging population for people who like fixed places, fixed numbers to count. It's just always been a challenge. I think in 2018, it became quite obvious how many people were missing. I don't know those numbers off the top of my head, JP, so don't ask or quote me. But I think it also came at a time, and I think this is a good thing, with the kind of Māori data sovereignty, that kind of collective response to kind of information was really starting to grow legs. And I think you bring all those things together, and it was quite a significant point of change for our organisation. But I think also data moves from this kind of boring thing that, data scientists did in a laboratory to more of a thing where people wanted to know, actually, what do you do in terms of counting us? What's the benefit of this stuff for us? And that's, to me, has been the big shift. I know that when I was here in 2013, it probably was your father-in-law and Te Kani Kingi were probably the main people kind of the bean countery kind of data analytical people that were on the Māori Advisory Board. And, I know Sir Mason was responsible for trying to look at, Māori data from a stronger Māori lens. But even in those days, back in 2013 and before, it was quite a kind of a different group of people. Nowadays, I think it's become more mainstream within Te Ao Māori to think about Māori data sovereignty, to think about the benefits of information, how are we moving away from counting Māori as if we're mad, bad and sad, to kind of well-being and we're glad. So, I think over time, we've seen a shift in perspectives. Having said that, that may be more the kind of Māori social service group like Whānau Ora, like you guys doing that, because at the same time, we still are pumping out babies. We're still, got people who are living in poverty. You know this better than I do, John. And I think it's kind of getting that, marrying that aspiration of controlling our data more, understanding more of our story, not just working with the Crown, but what I hear more from Māori is taking those roles off the Crown and doing things for ourselves. But as you know, John, that's a vision that we have, an aspiration we can have as a group of kind of people who want to lead our people into well-being. The challenge is always going to be on the ground, where our whānau live, whether they're being in garages or in cars or in kind of temporary accommodation. How do we engage with them and enable them to understand what we're doing, why it's working for them, why it's good for them, and hear their voice. And to me, that's the challenge.
Okay, Atafai, on that basis, just pretend I'm a standard homie, right? Just pretend I'm Willie Jackson, spent 3 years in the fifth form at Mangere College, and I'm looking at all this census stuff, and I'm wondering, what's in it for me? Why should I fill this form out? Tell me.
Okay, here's my story. Here's my story. When I was at the marae, when I was a young fella, my auntie Mary, who's actually a Pākehā whānau up in me, she married a Wakefield. Auntie Mary said, Atafai, go and count how many visitors we got. And I went and, you know, counted them. I knew who'd be coming on to her mum's when I thought I'd only gave her a number. I said, Auntie, why would I do that? And she says, Atafai, if we can count how many people are coming on to marae, we know how many mouths we have to feed. We'll look after people. And to me, that's really what the census helps us to do, JP. We count how many people live in our society. We count how many mouths we have to feed. And we do our best to manaaki and look after their people. That's really what a count does. It's nothing more sophisticated or flash than that. You can talk about schools, you can talk about parks, you can talk about shops. All of that stuff needs information. It needs to have information about the counts of people that are local. And to me, that's the benefit of this information. Whether you talk about how many MPs you have, Māori MPs, all of these things that, you know, are part of a modern-day society, housing, all of that relies on counts, simple counts of how many people live in your area. And that's really what the census does and what the census informs. And that's my story in terms of why do we do this.
Yeah, look, that's a good breakdown. I think when I opened the census, the paper version, I saw a lot of questions there that I just thought, oh, God, I feel like throwing this in the bin. There's like questions from, you know, what sex was I born? Have I changed? All this, and I think there's about 15 questions involved in and around a whole bunch of stuff that is Māori. I don't know whether that's that's the, how do you determine what's worthy to put a question on the census? Because it's just a big document now, and a lot of people look at it and think, oh, blow this, I'll throw it in the bin.
A couple of things, John. I think, I mean, the census is a long document, and, you know, for those of us who fill forms in, and I'm one of them for my sins, you know, this is the price of citizenship, JT, that our whānau has paid getting us educated, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of that, I mean, it would be fair to say that the document is daunting. It's not that you need a PhD to read it, but, you know, some of the questions people ask, where'd that come from? In terms of the process to get questions on, there is a process. You can go to our website. We've had people lobbying, if I'm fair, to, in terms of the LGBTQ questions. We've had a long process of people lobbying to kind of ask us for questions of that nature, and it's taken a while to get on there. There's a te reo Māori question on there that's kind of hidden within the how many languages can you have a day-to-day conversation, and that's the only measure, John, that's consistent, that we've counted over time on the health of te reo Māori. And it's still the number one measure that we use. That's how we know Ōtaki, of all places, has the most te reo Māori speakers per capita in Aotearoa New Zealand, through that question. So you are right in terms of questions. We've had lots of testing. There are always people saying, oh, you could have written it simpler. There is a little bit of, how do I say, the statistical rules in there. You know, you want to measure things the same way over time. If it's a centimetre in, you know, 1990, it needs to be a centimetre in 2024, 23. So there's a little bit of that in there as well. But I think going forward, JT, you're asking a good question there about the questions, the content, you know, what's it for, how does it benefit us? We are starting right now to think about, since it's 2028 and even going forward, how we might change things if we need to. And Stats New Zealand's always up for a conversation. And if people need to speak to somebody, they could start with me.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the other thing about the census is the fact that Māori move, because of the fact that over 60% of us are renters now, there's a constant churn going on and a move, and just trying to get to them. As a consequence, or them seeing someone coming up, you know, they don't. What's your view about a larger number of people now just not wanting to participate in anything a government wants?
I'm having a bit of a look at that in terms of what have we learned since COVID. I mean, you've got a better view on it probably than I have from a boots on the ground perspective, John, but I think, you know, we've always had people who, in Te Ao Māori, don't like the crown. You know, there are treaty grievances, there are historical reasons, and I think we just acknowledge that and we understand that. And that's why, you know, this time around, we've done a whole lot of things that have enabled us to have better conversations with Māori groups. I think working with Whānau Ora is one example, working with Data Iwi Leaders Group. You know, we have community activators out there. We've learned a lot of Whānau Ora and the Navigators kind of approach. And we've been activating those things for a while. Having said that, you know this, JT, you can do all of that, and there are still people who just look at you blankly going, why would I want to do that? And part of that is really an education process. It's a listening process. It's an understanding process. I'll tell you, somebody who talking to at the moment, you know, Dennis O'Reilly from CART, you know, he does a lot of work with the gangs. And, you know, obviously the types of things they need to hear and understand that meets their needs besides a generic response is something that's quite personal and needs to be important to them. So I think all of this, John, it just tells us, you know, New Zealand's a diverse society. Māori people, there'll be lots of people who feel alienated. But I do want to say this. As of today, what's that, the 16th of May, 700,000 Māori have filled in the census form. 700,000. That's a lot of people. It's over half because we've got about a million. It's almost at three quarters. So what we do know is there's enough of our population who thinks, yeah, there's something here. We'll fill in the form. I think the challenge is, and it's something, you know, we've talked about, is that last two or three out of 10, that 200,000 or 300,000 more, you know, and they will be the ones we think, you know, have maybe just disinterested, turned off.
Well, yeah. You know, well, another way to put it out to fire is this, right? So 2018, 17% of the population of Aotearoa's Māori descent, right?
Yep.
I would have thought in the last 5 or 6 years that Māori haven't stopped procreating, okay? And given the youthful nature of our population, 70% being under 40, if I join one dot, which is procreation, right? Māori's haven't stopped having sex, for another way to put it. And then that leads to babies, right? And so between 2018 and 2023, it is strongly suspected that the Māori population will increase by 3% or greater to be a punching north of 20% of the population of Aotearoa.
20% or thereabouts, yep, I buy that, yep.
Would you buy that?
Yep. I think that's, you know, we've got about a million or 20%, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so because you, like they did in 2018, have to do rounding up or rounding down exercises, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the rounding up or whatever is just really a way of trying to explain it simply. So I'll say 7 out of 10 just to make it, you know, really, really simple. But, you know, that's roughly 700,000 people. That's a lot of Māori who are filled in a form.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And as you know, a big bunch of those, their mums and dads or caregivers filled them out for them. But I also wanted to acknowledge the scale of the difficulty of a census.
Yes.
You know, and if you could give us some insights there, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, so at the moment, you know, when I talk about 7 out of 10, that's our unprocessed information, but those are our kind of daily counts. We still have to take, you know, a whole lot of the numbers out of that, add a few in, so we'll have a more scientific, you know, absolute number by the end of the census, and probably for Māori more towards the end of the year. But I think in terms of the difficulty, you know, I was looking at some numbers today, you know, places that you'd expect for us to be struggling in because of socioeconomic circumstances, poverty, you know, where we traditionally get low response rates. You could probably name them right now, John, in terms of, you know, South Auckland. There'll be pockets of South Auckland pockets of Wellington, probably, you know, Cannons Creek, Waitangi Rua. We could imagine in Kaiti, Gisborne. You know, we all know these places, Rotorua, Ford Block, Challenges in Nainai, Taita. You know, when I look at the numbers today, that's what it looks like. Ngarua Wahia, Huntly, you know, the numbers are lower. We might have 90, 80% in other areas, but in those areas, they can go down to lowers, kind of 55, 60%. So none of that should be a surprise to us in terms of those areas where it's traditionally tough to get voters out. And we know that those areas are, you know, there's a correlation there with socioeconomic deprivation. So, you know, in those areas, would we be surprised, John, that, you know, people don't know what the government does for them or you know, what the system's about or what census is about? No. And should we be pushing harder in there? Yes. And I think if I think about what we're trying to do in places like Cyclone Gabrielle, in the east coast there with our cousin Dorina Painga, Ngāti Porou Runanga, working with other iwi there, with Ron Nepe, you know, Toitū Tairāwhiti is an initiative where they are, with iwi, knocking on the doors, using their own people. And I think this time around, their response rate's better than the 2018 rate. They're getting near the kind of 70% for Māori percent, which is, if I'm honest, I think that's unheard of in terms of that area. But I suppose what your point is, and it's the correct point, in those areas that we suspect and we will know from data that it's hard, we need to do different. Because what's that definition of insanity that I've seen, the quote online from Einstein, I don't know if it's really him, but it's like if you expect different results by doing the same thing, that's insanity. So we are trying to do different things this time.
I'm sure Rawiri Waititi said that too.
Oh, Rawiri Waititi. I'm sure it was our opposite cousin who said that. But I mean, you know this, John, the challenge in our areas, you'll know better than I do in terms of kind of how they experience life, what's important to them in terms of those Maslow hierarchy of needs, and where the census may not even be in their top list of five things to do during the day. Those are the types of challenges that are obvious as we get nearer and nearer the final date for census.
Yeah, look, I think it's an extraordinarily important document for our people to fill out. They don't have to fill it all out. They just need to, I hope it doesn't bugger up your census, but what I tell my whānau to do is just do what's applicable as a Māori. You know, name, rank, serial number, address, number of whānau, number of iwi. That's about it. Yeah, education and maybe income, and then it's all over, rover. Because, you know, you still count, don't you, the census returns on the basis of somebody just not participating in a bunch of the questions that they believe are not applicable to them.
So it's important for people to know, and I think most people would get it anyway, that there's a whole lot of information that we hold on people in government that, you know, they might have filled in their driver's license or they're enrolled in a course at a university or, you know, and we can bring all that stuff together. It's called administrative data and we can knit it together. It takes a little bit longer. So for our partial responses, we'll do that. But what it does mean is that in terms of the final score, the total score, we don't get that till a little bit later on because it's a processing challenge for us. But, I mean, you're right, John, you know, we want people to fill the form in, but there are ways that you can fill in only key questions and you've done it. That's called a minimum data capture. But, I mean, ultimately, what we're trying to do is get a count of everybody in the country on that date of 7 March. We've extended the date because of Cyclone Gabrielle and because there's just an opportunity to get more forms. And so the final date for collection, for actual knocking on the doors for most of the country, that was at the end of April, beginning of May. We've still got some collection going on in Auckland, Whānau Ora, and I think we've got another partner coming on board to the end of June. And we also got our friends up on the East Coast, you know, from Napier, Wairoa, up to the East Coast, and they're still going, I think, to the end of May or June. I can't remember what the exact date. But, you know, we're still pushing to get as many people to fill it in by the end of June and then we'll be able to say, hey, how did we go?
Well, hey, look, that's good on you. I know it's been a tough job, particularly coming back from the 2018 disaster, and trying to get more firmed up information from our people. But if it is 700,000, well, you know, you got to say a 30%, okay, 30% no call. It'd be interesting to know from your data where we've got a lot more work to do. You've indicated those particular districts in certain. Look, they're quite built up. Huntly and Narawaia now, between Auckland and Hamilton, and that's becoming quite concentrated now. And so you wonder why in the heart of Kingitanga there's a problem.
I mean, I think, is it Barna Hiramia from the Kurukaupapa of Māori there? I mean, they've always talked to, and Tanga Nathan, he always said to me, you know, about the story of Huntly. It's like the story of most towns, you know, one side of the track and the other side of the track. You know, and one side's well developed, the other side's where all the cousins live. So, you know, I think there's always a tale of two cities in most towns. And I think we'll always find challenges in those socioeconomically deprived areas. I think it's a strong correlation there. And I think also, John, you know, that's where we'll see, you know, our people living... people living in, you know, transient lives, are moving from place to place, household to household, you know, looking for employment. Because if you think about it, you know, the fact that somebody would sit at a table and fill in their form is a pretty kind of a standard Western kind of view about how life looks like in terms of households. I think what you're showing us, John, in terms of our kind of communications with Lance and the team and Brad, what we've learned from whānau ora during COVID-19, that the reality for many of our whānaus is very, very different. And I think that's why the challenge this time around will hopefully learn more from what you guys are doing, from what our community, our iwi groups are doing at Ohua, Apanui and Te Tai Rāwhiti. And I think what this will help us do, and this is kind of what drives me at the moment, John, is that the more we learn about how we deliver social services better through community, I think the closer we're going to get to better solutions on the ground.
Oh, well, good on you, bro. Hey, thanks very much for coming on as a highly paid public servant. We don't believe... some are overpaid and underwhelming, but at least you've made a major effort at trying to turn an agency around that at times has difficulty in contracting directly to Māori by Māori for Māori solutions. So at least you've started to embark on that journey in the census. And as you said in the opening about data sharing arrangements, let's hope that that continues on. And I'm pretty sure it will with you being there as our representative. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. That was the census and all the things good and bad about it from Atawhai Tibble. He's director, Te Ao Māori Census. Kia ora, bro.
Kia ora.